Ringside tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, Deland Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
We are here and ready to do it. I'm Joe Dirt Linebarrier.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And with us tonight, Jeff Miracle, pit steward at Volusia Speedway Park, is going to sit in, and glad to be back with you.
Yeah, it's been we've been out. We had all of the stuff going on here in Daytona. We got preempted tonight, and so we've got a lot of catching up to do. You guys had I don't know how many nights in a row out at Volusia Speedway Park.
We put 11 in.
11?
One rain night, and everything else we were able to successfully get in. Not bad.
I think everybody got rained out that night.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah. Nine at New Smyrna. Of course, all the stuff that was going on at Daytona for several weeks. And, I can remember we were sitting here just a few weeks ago. We'd come in here and we'd sit down and go, well, what are we going to talk about tonight? You know, it's kind of – things are a little quiet, a little calm, and, man, it goes from just quiet and peaceful to we're off and running, you know. And the Cup guys and all the guys running NASCAR, you know, they leave here, have to take off, get home last night, and then load up and leave basically tomorrow morning to get to California.
Yeah, and in the years past, I mean, it was still an East Coast trip. So to speak, they go right to Rockingham.
Right, now
all the way back to the West Coast.
Yeah, and that's a long haul. I said something to my buddy up at Petty's today, and I said, "Well, you mean you don't have a West Coast crew?" And he says, "The East Coast crew would sure like that."
You know, I bet it will come to that sooner or later.
They don't have one. And of course, the other part of that is, I don't want to get into a whole rumor, but. That Fontana deal hasn't worked out the way everybody'd hoped. You know, that racetrack doesn't sell out. They have a hard time getting it done.
Slow. And, relatively.
Yeah, it's not drawing like they'd hope it would. But, you know, who knows? I know they're not going to give up on it right away. That's for sure. But we want to remind everybody, as always, and I know there's been a lot of folks have called into a lot of local racing shows. I listened to some of the stuff Mark Williams did. You know, here, particularly last night. I got to tell you, and I suppose I would be considered biased, but I jumped back and forth between the Sirius Satellite Radio broadcast on 128 and back to Mark Williams. And frankly, I don't think there was a better program out there than what Mark was doing.
And you know, Mark and the gang, they do this with the local flavor, certainly during the race and after the race, kind of helping people out around the area. But I got to give a shout-out to Tom Gray.
Yeah.
You know, Tom came out and helped me announce the beginning of our Alltel Dirt Car Nationals, and Tom just worked so hard for the station, and Mark will agree. I mean, he's always down there. He's got the right interview. But those guys do a great job, no doubt.
They you know, I know they've got it's the local flavor, but I think they do the local flavor with a very professional, spirit. I mean, it comes across as very well, very informative, and I appreciate it. I end up listening more to WNDB. Until I ran out of the signal and on the way back home, and then had to switch back to the Sirius deal, and I preferred the WNDB thing.
I heard Gene.
She was on him, yeah.
She wouldn't hang up. They were trying to wrap her up, man, and she wouldn't go Saturday. I heard you, Gene.
Wait, here we go, Gene. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I could have had a nice nap yesterday for the first 150 laps.
I did.
Good well, God.
You know, I think part of that, first off, I said this years and years. If you want to watch an exciting race, and you could pick any one of the 36 that they run on the Cup schedule, Daytona's not it.
No, not at all.
Now, you know, and that was magnified a little bit yesterday because, you know, it's the first competitive event outside of course, the Bud Shootout, but the first real race of any length that the Car of Tomorrow was tested at Daytona, and you know, now we'll obviously start calling it the Car of Today or just the Car, but
the new car.
You know, I think that had a lot to do with it. But I do think when you get down to the end, and the racing went the way that it did, I'm now today more of a fan of the current car than I was when it was introduced. I still don't like the splitter. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the wing on the back. I don't like the way it looks.
This car's tough, though, Randy.
Okay, but from a functional standpoint and from the way that it actually does race, I think we probably got a better race car now than we had last year. I don't have any doubt about that. And I think in time, as they get a little more sophisticated and a little bit more comfortable with dealing with it, it's going to get even better. You know, they got to stop trying some of these extreme things. You know, the Jeff Burton had a problem with a shock mount on Thursday. Jeff Gordon had a suspension problem, and what it's doing, why that's happening is because they're taking all the weight off the springs and putting them all on the shocks. And you know, they're going to have to figure out where that point is.
NASCAR succeeded yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't have the big one.
They didn't have the big one, and
they could have had it a couple of times, but they never had it.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed about the car, though, I don't know if the car is any better, any more stable racing, but one thing for sure, when it gets sideways, it's easier to catch.
Oh, yeah.
And when it does take contact, it's easier to repair, it appears, and it recovers. It doesn't get as damaged.
Well, I think the package, you know, the width of the car, the aerodynamic hole that it's making in the air is actually bigger. So the fenders, I mean, you still need the fenders on the car, but the little ding in the fender here or there isn't as big a deal as it was. Anyway, Gene, we're doing all the talking, and you're on the phone. What's on your mind?
Oh, a couple of issues. Tires, again. This is getting monotonous.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Well, who was it? You see, both right side tires blue?
You know something, with I'm going to tell you something. I'm an advocate of going as fast as you can, but if you set your car up, continue to set your car up the way some of these guys set them up, and put the pressure on the tires that they put on them, this is inevitable. If you get a long green flag run and you have to stay out there, this is not a surprise. These guys are asking some of these parts, particularly the tires, to do more than they're capable of doing. Some guys had here's the thing. Some guys had very good tire wear, and some guys had horrible tire wear. And it's not the difference in the tire. It's the difference in the setup. And the issue to me isn't what Goodyear brings to the table. It's what the teams do that ignores what Goodyear's recommendations are. And, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't try it too, but you got to understand the consequences that come with it.
Okay. You must have been sad just when your baby finished 39th.
My baby, Gordon. Let me tell you something. The only way yesterday could have been any better is if the top eight cars were Dodges instead of six out of eight. You know, I was screaming louder than I was in 1976 when Richard Petty and David Pearson were coming to the start-finish line. That was an awesome event because, you know what, all of the pundits, we do this for fun. You know, I can promise you Joe and Billy and I don't make a living doing this. So we have our opinions and we do it. Well, Joe does it for the money. We established that. But we do it mostly for fun. And all the experts never saw this coming. Everybody talked about, you know, Hendrick domination. And I'm not, by the way, I don't think that that's over. They talked about the Earnhardt story, and I think rightfully so. That's a huge story. And they talked about the Toyota horsepower. And once again, I don't think that's over. Nobody talked about how good the Dodge teams were. And but Billy, you're going to – okay, you talked about how good the Dodge
teams were. On Friday night, Ryan Newman was at Volusia Speedway Park racing with us. And he's standing down in Alltel Victory Lane, and they were talking to him. And me and Joe looked at each other and said, this guy could win it on Sunday. Without a doubt, we both said the same thing. Joe said he was the fastest in the last practice, which I didn't know of. But I told Joe, I said, you know what, he's got a pretty good car there. And Joe said, we both said at the same time, this guy could very well be the Daytona 500 winner on Sunday.
Hung around in the top 10 all day. And, Randy, I mean, all respect to Dodge, you know it could have been 10 Toyotas. It's what happens on the last lap. They ran up front, and they ran good. No doubt about it.
Hold on. I'm going to say, you know.
But all in all, for Speed Weeks 2008, it wasn't dominated by Dodge.
I heard the you know, on any given day speech this morning on the way into work at 7 o'clock, all right, so on any given day, anybody can win. That's fine. But on any given day, you're not going to get six out of the top eight cars be one brand. And on any given day, you're not going to get seven out of the top 11 cars be any one brand. And on any given day, you're not going to get eight out of the top 15 cars by one brand. That is not a by chance scenario. You know, they only had 11 cars in the race. Over 50% of them finished in the top 15.
Yeah, you're right. They ran extremely well.
Okay.
Extremely
what are you raining on this parade for?
I'm not.
So, was everybody happy with the results yesterday?
Who cares?
Well, I think Ryan Newman and Kurt Busch were, but I don't know if everybody else was. You know, I think...
No, I mean you guys at the station.
I don't know. I think my pick was Harvick. Billy's was Kyle Busch. I think Bobby Labonte was for...
my guy finished 11th.
So, and yours was Gordon, so he was 39th. So.
That was a good place for him. He could have finished a little, like, 43rd.
Kyle is still out there
39.
Finishing up, by the way. He finished 34th, Kyle Petty.
I've got some insight on that, too, by the way. But I went to...
What? Did he's going to run under the lights tomorrow night, too?
My angle was... My angle with this is I picked Bobby Labonte, but going into yesterday, I said, you know, for me, in priority, any Dodge.
Of course.
Okay. Mark Martin.
Mark. Okay. What happened to DEI cars again yesterday? Mark was up there, and all of a sudden he fell back.
What's that again?
What happened to DEI cars again yesterday?
Well, Mark ran over some debris, and it cut a tire. He had problems on two different occasions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his day was full of bad luck, more than anything else.
Yeah. Where was Paul Manette again? Somewhere in the back end, right?
I have no idea. Probably at the drive-in window.
He's out there with Tom Brady finishing up.
Oh, well. I don't know. I've had my soapbox all week anyway. I got out the other day about Teresa.
Well.
I can't understand. It's Monday. The race was yesterday. And you're still upset about this Jeff Gordon 39th deal.
I'm not upset. I'm quite happy with it. I was joyful when I saw that. I said, oh, my God. I'm clapping my hands on my desk, everything else.
I think the whole race would have been a different outcome if Lowdell would have pitted.
You heard what happened.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the radio.
Too much chatter on the radio.
He couldn't figure out what was going on.
We sometimes had that problem, but not all the time.
You know,
they elected to stay out, and that was the wrong move.
It wasn't a move that was
an
option.
He was loose because I could see him fishtailing.
Gene,
and saying, uh-oh.
Listen, was not a deliberate call. They couldn't communicate with him, so he didn't get the word to come to pit road. It wasn't they said stay out. He couldn't get the word to come in.
Oh, when they interviewed Tony Urie, he said he was told to stay out.
Well, after they missed, he got told to stay out one time, but after that, it wasn't the way it was. They couldn't tell him to come in.
Okay.
You know, he was a sitting duck, actually.
Oh, yeah. He knew it. They all knew it.
But that's all, you know, he didn't win, but to start out finishing ninth and not wreck the race car and be a, you know, he did a good job. And
He had a good speed week.
Yeah, he had a great speed week. You know,
his wins are now up to 12.
He finished ninth.
Yeah, he's happy where he finished.
No, it's 46 wins out there between him and his father. That's not too shabby.
Was that the most lame pre-race show you've ever seen?
No, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
50th anniversary?
Chubby Checker?
He was lip-syncing.
Cool in the Gang?
You know, you're not.
Michael McDonald?
Hold on.
You need to get out of here.
What about Brooks
that was
and Dunn?
Crap. That was safe, guaranteed crap is what that was.
Come on,
that
man.
Was lame as – that's the most lame.
With the cars rolling around the track.
That
man.
Was neat. That was cool, the old Charger. Did even pulling out Earnhardt's car.
Did you
go to
the race?
No, but I saw it on TV.
The atmosphere was great. You understand why they
those
had –
Those talent was awful.
Okay, you understand
nothing great
why,
about it.
Why they had those different people.
Of
those
course, it was the
era
of the 50s.
Right.
How you busting on Chubby
still,
Checker? He was one of your favorites when you was a kid.
It was lame. It was
Hey Gene, we got another caller. We're gonna have
that's
to go.
Okay, I just had to pick on you, especially about Jeffy.
Okay,
Gene.
All right, we'll
talk
see
you. To you later, guys.
All right,
but let me ask a question, Randy. You were there.
Yeah.
Did they roll out the Earnhardt Senior? I see.
Yes.
No, hold on a second.
Under the stage.
I seen the one under the stage, but they were supposed to make a lap with the car tomorrow.
Never made a lap.
Did you ever see it? They have a
yeah.
Car, they
took the cover off of it on pit road.
Okay.
Pushed it forward and then took it behind the wall.
It's a car tomorrow.
Yes.
Painted up like the year he won the Daytona 500.
Correct.
And then they had the car that he won the 500 in.
Right.
With Brooks and Dunn.
That's right. Exactly. Rick. Hello.
What's going on?
There he is.
Hey, Rick, did you see the pre-race show? You were driving. You didn't see it.
No, I didn't see anything. Didn't hear anything either because the radio don't work.
Rick is now Billy Big Rig, we call him. He's actually driving.
Oh, boy.
Hey, okay. At least you got home safe.
Aren't we funny?
You got home safe.
Yeah, I hear you.
Did you watch any of the race? When did you get home?
11 o'clock at night, so the answer would be no.
All right, very well. You had your fill of racing, obviously. I know.
You interviewed the Daytona 500 winner on Friday night.
That is correct. That must have been an omen.
You must have gave him a look.
Yeah, it was a little karma there. That's what it was.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? What's your synopsis of the entire Alltel Dirt Car Nationals?
A 7.
Yeah, I'd give it a 10, man. I mean, with Alltel's sponsorship and the way they stood up, I think it was great. Track conditions could have been a lot better, quite frankly. I mean, the prep crew worked hard, Rick. You know it. But I just don't think they know how to get a handle on this surface.
I got some emails that I forwarded, people complaining about the how long that it took. More about how late it started. Not so much that it was going to take long, but that how late it started.
We started on time, like, I think, twice out of 11 nights. You know, and that's
a lot of that had to do with the weather and the new clay, and you know, it's just a lot of things. But the good thing is, once the show did get started, every night it went by just clicking off.
We had two nights.
Couldn't ask for any better run.
Yeah, you're right.
We had 2 nights, 10:30 and 5:11.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and the race was phenomenal every night. I mean,
10:30. We got done 10:30 with 70 late models and 40 big blocks.
Yep.
That's not bad.
5:11 the next night, pretty much same car count.
Yep. I'd say 75% of the nights the track was good.
It always takes the same thing. Every time you get started, it takes them a little bit to realize that, hey, you got to put a fire underneath the drivers and get them in staging and let's go.
And nobody wants to go out there and be the track packer.
No.
Nobody.
That's true.
You know, there's not a guy out there.
Nice to see Daytona, Dodge, Chrysler, Mopar, Speed Shops step up with that pace car, too. That was nice.
That was, man. 2008 Magnum, really cool car.
You had a Magnum, and you also had a Charger, I believe.
That's right.
That's good stuff, guys.
We like being there.
Yep.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Well, Rick, Billy Moyer, this guy has just had a phenomenal time here in the winter in Florida. I think, what is it, 7 consecutive victories for the most part?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, 7 wins for the guy, dude.
Wait a minute.
Back up, Rick. Back up. How many wins did Billy Moyer get in Florida?
7.
Well, he got three over in for?
What are you talking about, 7 consecutive?
Okay, he won 7 late model races.
You can tell it. It's been a long
Speed
Week. Jesus Christ.
No, Bill. You tell us how many races Billy won, where he led laps, everything. Come on.
I can tell you right now. Speed Weeks down here.
At East Bay Raceway.
He won 4.
Don O'Neill won. He won 3.
3, okay.
Okay, Don O'Neill won the first night.
Till 3 o'clock in the
morning.
Matt
Miller won the second night. He won on Wednesday. Terry Casey won on Thursday. He won Friday. He won Saturday.
All right, who won at Volusia? All our
UMP. He won Monday, and he won Wednesday.
Right.
That's it.
Hey, Rick, he had a good Speed Weeks, didn't he?
Tell me about that. Not only he picked up the $1,000 for winning the UMP Dirt Car portion of the Alltel Dirt Car Nationals, he wins 3 races at Volusia, and he's tied for the point lead with the World of Outlaws Late Model Series with Josh Richards.
Yeah, Josh Richards won the opener just like he did last year. So this kid likes Volusia, no doubt.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, he just can't ask for a better. And yeah, I'm looking at the points right now. 294 for both Moyer and Richards. 274 for both Steve Francis and Darren Miller. 270 for Rick Eckert. So it's tight right out of the gate.
Craig Delansky winning the 410 Sprint Car Championship. Kenny Schrader with the UMP Modifieds. What else, Bill? Billy Pouch and Brett Hearn winning the mod for the big blocks. So, I mean, we had a lot of parity up.
For the first time in a long time, we had 4 different winners on the big blocks.
Yeah, and that's going some, too. But I tell you, what about the brawl on Saturday night?
Hey, why was Danny Johnson involved in that?
Because
all I know is there was some stuff on the track, wasn't there, Billy?
Yeah, the 98 car and the 27 J got together on the track, and I think it knocked Danny Johnson's tire off. And when he pulled in and came back out and waited on the field, I knew there was going to be trouble. But once again, the caution came out just in time, and then he pulled in, and they kept yelling for security. And I don't know what happened with that.
Jeff, you were down there for that. I mean, they were yanking each other out of the race cars.
That was ugly.
Unbelievable. Good stuff right there, man. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Well, Rick, I appreciate it, man. And you guys, where are you stopping next?
It'll be our next stop at Pike County Speedway, Magnolia, Mississippi, at the end of the month. And I know you guys got a big one coming up this weekend, a makeup. So I think we're underway, Jill.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for everything, Rick. They're wrapping me up.
Hey, guys.
Later. All right. You got Claudia ready to go? Okay. Claudia?
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. You know, I was wearing my orange yesterday, and I'm a Tony Stewart person. I wouldn't have wanted to see him cut his hair, though. Let me mention something that they were talking about last night, and what you brought up again tonight was with the speeds on the track.
Uh-huh.
and why they try to keep them down. And it was my understanding, I heard a couple times, that in Daytona, when they come off that third turn, that there's a spot that they can become airborne.
Well, I don't think that there's a I don't think that the track would knowingly have a spot on it that would cause a car to get airborne. But what you've I don't know to what degree or what definition you're using about getting airborne, but the combination of the track is definitely rough. The combination of that with the way that they put the suspensions, they actually are inhibiting the suspension. They're not allowing the suspension to do what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Can cause the cars to get pretty bouncy. But the safety issue, the speed issue, is all about keeping everybody safe. More than anything else, it's about keeping fans safe. And it goes back to the Bobby Allison wreck at Talladega, when the car just took off like an airplane and went into the really almost up into the grandstand. If it wasn't for a very, very strong catch fence, I would say that would have changed the face of NASCAR dramatically, and I don't think we'd have the sport that we have today if that had been as bad as it had the potential to be. So immediately following that is when the whole restrictor plate came to pass. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University worked on the roof flaps to help keep the cars when they lost the downforce on the nose and on the rear when they got sideways. Those roof flaps were designed to keep the car down on the ground instead of getting upside down, up in the air, and flipping through the air. So there's a lot of things that they've done, all safety generated, to keep the car on the racetrack. And ultimately, some of that includes slowing it down, but it doesn't change the competition. As a matter of fact, the slower speeds, I think, elevate the competition. You go back to the Bill Elliott days when he qualified at 210 mile an hour and he wins the race by two laps. I'm not sure. We talk about a boring 150 laps. That's just, nobody cares to watch that Daytona 500. So on one hand, the cars aren't going to get airborne. On the other hand, they're all running together. So, yeah, you've got some things that could potentially lead to more wrecks. But the combination of slowing them down and hopefully trying to make them more drivable will reduce the number of wrecks and keep the race.
You know, being a fan all these years, I've seen what NASCAR has done as far as the safety measures. And I think this is just one of the finest races. I listened a lot to the radio more than what I watched because the coverage was so good. I could just, you know, just feel everything. And I've been to many races, and the way last year turned out with the head guys, you know, like like Jeff and several of them winning so many races, we wanted to see something different. And I don't think it could have been any better than to have Ryan Newman. He's Rocket Man, isn't he?
That's him.
Have him win, a fine American young man and an American car on an all-American race, and I'm just thrilled.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a commercial for me. I need to put that down, okay? I appreciate that as a Dodge dealer. So,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was very, very good. You know, Joe, we're going to going to get do an interview here in just a few minutes. But one of the things I want you to think about before we get Tank on the phone is you hear, and we all hear, we all sit in here and we all hear about the state of the economy. And I, you know, in no means am I trying to ignore people in our community today who are suffering or hurting and in any way. So please don't misinterpret this. But on par, I've heard all kinds of great things. All the number of car counts that were out at the Volusia Speedway Park, the number of people who were in the grandstand. I talked to the New Smyrna Speedway Management today about, you know, what's their assessment of the way Speed Weeks went, and you know, car count, fan count, all of those are just, you know, everything's up. So let's talk about that when we get done talking with Tank, with Tank Tucker. I think we got Tank. Are you on the phone there, buddy?
Yes. Good evening, Randy. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
What's happening, Tank?
That was Joe, and you know Billy. He's with us too. First off, I want to congratulate you, the Florida Modified World Series of Asphalt champion. Is that right?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And not only are you the champion, but you guys were supposed to race six nights. One night got washed out from rain, right?
Yes.
And then the other five nights, you won four out of five times, including the 50-lap. That was a special named race. I just went brain dead.
I don't know what the name of the race was neither.
My goodness. I apologize. But So you win four out of five times, and one other event you end up in a wreck. But how much better could it have been, except maybe winning five times?
The five times have been great for me. I like to sweep the whole deal.
Well, you know, and I watched on a couple different occasions, and when you won, you didn't just win; you just waxed everybody. So what have you got that nobody else has?
Wayne Graham.
Well, that says it pretty quick.
Graham Custom Fab.
Well, I mean, the modified classes, to me, it's one of those contradictory kind of classes. You got all this motor and no tires and all this motor and no brakes and all this motor and no wheels. And, you know, I get it drives me crazy. But, you know, your deal wasn't just about horsepower out there.
The handling was the key. I mean, we were killing them from entry of the corner to the exit of the corner. We just had so much momentum on entry because we were exiting good. We just wearing them out in the corners where the race was won.
Well, the other thing I noticed about you is, you know, most of the guys, the old traditional fast way around New Smyrna is the low, you know, the inside lane. Everybody runs the inside lane, come up a little bit, coming off the corner, and then You never even got to the inside. I don't think you got to the inside until you pulled inside to victory lane. Everything was around the outside.
That's where we had to do it.
Tank, let me ask you something. At Volusia Speedway Park, we have our UMP dirt modified. It still, I think, goes with what Randy says, no tire, a lot of motor. These guys come in the UMP ranks every year. This year we had, I think, 90, our biggest night. Several of our local drivers try to make the programs and barely can even qualify. Our champion, the track champion, Charlie McNichol, did make one show. Why can asphalt modified at New Smyrna Speedway go and run with modifieds that travel down and still be competitive? What's the big difference here?
Well, I don't know the big difference there other than Graham Custom Fab does my setup, motor, and chassis. You know, he does a complete package. And if we were running the dirt issue, I'm going to be confident to say we would be there somewhere in the mix.
Gotcha. I mean, Billy, maybe you can help me. Are they running a big block coming down, and our guys are just running a small block, and it's just open rules? I mean, what's going on with our guys not being able to make it?
A lot of deal with this UMP deal with us is that the guys that are running that UMP series, are a lot of them got more motor than a lot of our local guys. And I mean, it's still the same car and the same setup, and I just think that these guys show up and they win a heat race, and the next thing you know, they put their big motor in between the heat race and the feature for the feature race.
Right,
so
right, right.
I think that's what it has to do. I don't think it has to do with track experience. I think it has to do with, on our deal, you have 90 cars, they draw.
Right.
You have eight heat races. If you get a bad draw, you only got eight laps to get
true.
To the top three or top two.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I think that's what it comes down to. And I know talking to our local guys this past week, you know, a lot of our guys are just outmoded with this deal.
Yeah. Tank, tell me, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Joe.
Real quick, how many out-of-state drivers did you have to contend with in your modified division? Was it a majority of out-of-staters?
I would say we had 27 or 28 car count Friday night, and I would say half that field was out-of-state.
Okay.
Yeah, we even had a neighboring car next to us from Scotland.
Well, yeah, there's a guy from Scotland. Wow. There's people from Canada. You know, the thing that I got to ask this. I mean, well, let's back up. I want to kind of set the stage here. We said you won 4 out of 5 times. The one time you didn't win, you got in a big wreck.
And yeah.
That wreck was predictable.
And yeah,
we even pre-planned for that wreck. We even kind of went up an extra half a groove, just in case the individual got in there and locked his brakes up and drove in the side of it.
Really?
We already were expecting something to happen.
Well, here's the deal. You can say the individual, but I'm going to name the name because I respect him. But I got to ask some questions. You know, Jerry Simons is one of the great modified drivers of our area, and not only our area, but he travels and goes to Lakeland and other places and is successful just about any place he goes. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
Okay. But for some reason, when the two of you, this has become the Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart rivalry of our local community as far as racing goes. When the two of you get around each other, bad things happen. And I'm not kidding. Anytime the 66 and the 15 are on the racetrack together, there's an opportunity for sparks to fly. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. We're good competitors. We race hard, and then we don't give nothing. That's just the way we are. I mean, we've been doing it for years.
Well, I think Jerry Simons is one of the better race car drivers I've seen anywhere do anything. But I've seen him when he races against you to do things that I would say a guy who's got far less experience than he is. And what do you think? What do you do that makes him do things that are not his normal, that he gets outside his comfort zone? What do you think that is?
I don't know. We've pondered that for a week now. and we're still pondering. I do not have the answer. I'm still searching for it. So if you can help me with it, I'd be appreciated.
Well, I do want to say one thing. I watched what happened, and I think I was impressed, honestly, the way that you dealt with that situation. The next night, you know, after that event, you get a backup car because your primary car is going to take an awful lot of work to make it a primary car again. You get your backup car, you put it all together, you make it go, and you start at the back, and Jerry starts a little further in front of you. You catch him going around the outside, and I think you put up a fight there for maybe a couple laps, and never one time did you put the bumper on him. And certainly a person of less character, i.e. me, might have had a little retaliation for the night before, but rather you chose to do it the way that it should be done, and that was just to go out and beat him on the racetrack. And I admired that. And I also understand that he at some point in time tried to apologize or did apologize, and I think that's good too. So it's a pretty healthy rivalry, but there's no love lost there now, is there?
Not right now. Not right now.
Well, the good news is you don't have to race against each other this week, right?
Exactly. We got a little time to think about it.
Well, I think so. I guess what I'm saying to the fans out there, you want to go see some spirited, tough, competitive racing. You need to get to New Smyrna Speedway when this 66 and the 15 are out there running the modified series because it's a real rivalry. It's every bit as good as that 20 and 2. I can tell you that. What my congratulations, and you know, on top of everything else, Tank, everybody knows you and I are friends, and by the way, you know I like Jerry too.
I used to like him too.
No, you said that, I didn't. Okay, but I am looking forward to to all of us getting back together and racing too. I can't wait to get back out there. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, this is the 2008 World Series of Asphalt Florida Modified Champion Tank Tucker. Tank, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, you have a good evening,
buddy. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting.
You know,
how long has this been going on?
Oh, it's been going on for a while, for a few years now.
Is it every time they see each other on the track or something happened?
No, I don't think that would be fair to either one of them. I mean, they are both very competitive, and they are hard racers, and they are – and, you know, and again, let me tell you something. Jerry Simons is as good as it gets. I really think he's a class act race car driver.
Oh, no doubt.
And I'm impressed with the way Jerry races, but this rivalry has really gotten to be a big deal. Now,
but you know what? It'll get out of hand, Randy. But Tank seems like he can keep it grounded. Tank seems like he can hold, you know, kind of hold his temper and keep it grounded.
And Jerry, you know, let me tell you, I would want to say this. I want to defend to a degree because I don't want to lead the people listening in the wrong direction. I don't believe what Jerry did, just so you know. I don't think – I watched it. He didn't run in the corner and wreck Tank. He didn't run in there to wreck Tank. He ran in the corner hard to try to beat Tank through the corner, and he just he asked his car to do more than it could
do. Sure, sure.
That's all.
And he knew it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
He knew it.
Okay, we got this phone. That's a busy night. So we got Carl, okay. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was in the car earlier this evening. You were talking about the guys packing up and, what, headed to California?
Yeah.
Well, Newton, the winner.
Ryan Newman.
Newman, yeah, after he won, you know, all the interviews and everything he had to do, pack up and fly to be in New York
right
today. He's got to he already taped the David Letterman show about 5:30.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's on a media blitz that just will not
stop. Hey, let me tell you, Carl, Friday night he came to Volusia. Of course, Alltel sponsored the Dirt Car Nationals. He came out, and you want to talk about how tight his schedule on a contract is. We actually got handed a release showing every minute of Ryan's time is accounted for while he's at that racetrack.
Yeah.
Autograph session from 9:20 to 9:30. Victory Lane celebration. He was supposed to come up and help me announce a little bit. Never made it. But, I mean, their time is really accounted for in a way that you just wouldn't believe.
I bet. It's pretty neat to have Alltel win the first Sprint Cup race, huh?
Yeah, no doubt,
well,
man.
Let me tell you one more, okay? You know, for several years, Dodge was the official truck of the Daytona International Speedway. And they're not anymore. And the Speedway is very protective of its sponsors and who sits on the property and so on and so forth. So they've got this, albeit it's not a dilemma because the winner goes in no matter what brand it is. But Dodge is not in any way a sponsor of the Daytona National
right.
Speedway.
Like
right
Chevy
now,
is.
Like Chevy is. So right. For 12 months, there'll be a Dodge Alltel race car
right there, man.
In the Daytona
experience.
500 experience. Yep. And so that's a, you know, there's a whole lot of that
it hit
stuff
me
going
probably,
on. Yeah.
Probably 10 years ago. I think it was maybe more than 10 years ago. Jeff Burton won the Interstate 500 in the X-Side car.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually put the Interstate battery on top of the X-Side car.
Yeah.
It was great, man. Just good stuff.
Beautiful. Hey, how was the TV ratings? Do you know?
They're up. Right now, they went up. These are what you call the preliminary ratings. They're not the final ratings, but the preliminary ratings are up over a year ago, and the second best Fox rating ever.
That's...
So it's you know. But on the other hand, to be expected, the 50th running of the Daytona 500. If you can't move the needle for that one, I'm not sure how you got any chance.
It's
you know?
Only because they couldn't put a little small TV or a little small camera and see that the people on the other side of the TV was actually sleeping, just to change the channel, like me.
Here we go.
So now my rating.
Serious
calls,
answer
but
to
I
a
swear,
you didn't get the Arbitron box.
Okay,
so
the
don't
serious
worry about
answer
it.
To a serious question is the ratings. The preliminary ratings are up.
Okay, well, keep us informed. We appreciate
Carl.
It.
Okay, right, thank you.
How about Kurt Busch finishing second in the Miller Lite car, and they serve Budweiser at the track?
Yeah.
Hello there. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, I want to talk to Joe, please. This is Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Bill.
Joe,
hey,
Joe's in
how
the
we doing?
No, we're here. We're good, my man. What's going on?
I want to call in a couple of things. I know Bob and I had an issue early on, and I want to thank
Tanya and Larry for they went out of the way. They kind of took good care of us.
Well, good. I know they accommodated you. It's tough to sell those tickets, and they really don't know what those grandstands are like. And I know they kind of made a few mistakes, and you were kind of put into VIP because of it, Bill.
He had a good opinion, man.
They took good care of us, but I appreciate their effort. I mean,
well,
you know,
we will pass that on for sure, Bill.
Wasn't their problem, but they handled it well.
And see, since we're on the air, we want to say thanks to Bob for the recorder.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
I know he wanted to hook you up and see if he helped the show out a little bit.
It did good. We got a lot of people, and we just got to bring the tapes in and get it turned over.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how dumb some of these drivers are, Bill. You put it in their face.
Don't talk about the doctor.
We want them to say, hey, this is so-and-so, and you're listening to Trackside Tonight. They went every direction except that.
You're
listening to Trackside Live. okay, I'll try it again. Hey, this is so-and-so. You're listening to Live on Trackside. They couldn't get it right. Hey, Bill, talk about these big blocks. I mean, we had four nights, four different winners, first time ever.
Yeah, the ones that really, I think the star was Dale Plank and Jimmy Horton.
Yeah.
I mean, the charges they put on were...
Dale Plank had a good car
last
night. He had a flat tire, came from the back. He had a good car.
And he ended up third, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. And let's talk about Pouch. I mean, this guy resurfaces, makes a trip to Florida.
Pouch.
So much, we talked about him at the track, but so much surrounds this guy. It's just amazing. And he's just got his own, aura about him. He's amazing.
His son was running a mod at Newsom.
That's what I heard. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, his kid is, he's running everything. He's in the Hooters Cup and so on.
Really?
He's moving up good. Whatever he can get any time in, he's driving.
Good deal, good deal. So
so you enjoyed yourself?
Huh?
You enjoyed yourself?
Hey, we had a good time. I know a couple nights you had issues with dirt, but hey, that's why dirt track racing is what it is. You don't just go the same route every night, so that makes the racing better, really.
Yep. Right, right, right.
They got to adapt.
Yep.
Put a couple ruts in it, and you build some character.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out how to get around it. I mean, McAdam, the track's the same every night pretty well. I mean, temperature-wise.
Well, I tell you what one guy told me one time, right? I said, you know, I think the track wasn't too good tonight. This wasn't this few weeks. This has been a few years ago. And he said any old bleep could drive around in a circle.
Yeah.
Yep. Steve Kinzer told me that.
Yeah.
I've heard of him someplace.
Yeah.
Hey, one other thing. I know they're talking about the late finishes. I wondered if they would next year consider maybe like a 6:30 start. Because virtually anybody there isn't probably working that day. They're from out of town by and large.
You know, just so you know, I want to make sure I clarify that the people who contacted me about it, and I'm not sure why I was the point of contact because there's not a doggone thing I could do about it. But, you know, I don't think their complaint was so much the length of the program as it was the preparation and the time that it started. So I think if they could, number one, and everybody needs to understand that a dirt track is not exactly a perfect world. You know, you're trying to get the racetrack in the right shape. But probably... need to try to, if they can just get started on their time, I think that would have cured a lot of the problem from the people that I heard from.
And, yeah, that would work.
You know, I know that some of the times that they have out there are always, they're out there so that people can go do what they got to do, go to the big track, get done, get something to eat, get to the racetrack, and you know, all those things. So, you know, maybe a half hour earlier start, you know, a 7 o'clock start, possibly, but more importantly, whatever the time is, be on time.
Yeah,
you
know? That's for sure.
Well, I thought there was a lot of things he could have done to fix the time. You know, I mean, there was a lot of nights we didn't get started on time, but like I said, this is probably the latest we've been done since I've been there every year, you know, for the past 10 years. I know last year, the first night, the All-Star Circuit of Champions dragged their feet. And the second night, I went to them and said, listen, we need to pick this up. And we started getting done in a reasonable time. But I think it's the same way. They come there, and if you let the drivers designate what time they're going to roll the staging, you'll be late every night. That's what held us up. And to be honest with you, running six heat race of late models and to put two in the infield and then put another two later, why not just put three in there and let's go. Run those three and run the last three. To be honest with you, you could put all six heats in there if you really, really wanted to.
Yeah, line them up on the hill.
Right.
We appreciate your phone call. And
hey, Bill, you coming out this weekend?
Yeah, I got to keep you guys honest, so we'll be out there Saturday and Sunday anyway.
All right, my
man. Thanks for your help.
All right, be good.
All right. Well, I appreciate all the phone calls. We're going to take a two-minute break and come back and do the last part of the program. And again, once again, we encourage you to call 239-0033.
What?
Welcome back. This is Billy the Kid, and alongside Joe Lineberrier and Randy Dye. Coming back from the break, usually what we like to do, come back from the break, or we have the last few times we've had a loss in the racing community. We'd like to, I know for amongst myself, as being a friend of Jason Boyd and the Boyd family, we'd like to send our condolences to the Boyd family on the loss of Dennis Boyd yesterday from Boyd Racing Engines. And I know, Randy, you probably know me a little better than most of us, but being a competitor when I was helping out the Lawrences and racing against Jason Boyd, and I know last year he lost his mom, and coming from somebody that lost their dad 2 years ago or last season, it's a very hard thing, and I just want to tell Jason that my thoughts are with him and his brother.
Definitely.
You know, Dennis Boyd, I never raced a Dennis Boyd engine in my car, but I raced against a many of them.
Yeah, and you hear about them, just how tough they are, and you see them.
Really tough.
And usually, you know, when they went around you, they was pretty quick.
Yeah, all the time.
You know, he just built some good stuff. And Dennis was a, you know, he was a real gentleman. You know, I can't say I never ever one time ever had a conflict with Dennis Boyd, and he was always kind and always polite and always courteous and always said hello. He was just a good guy.
Yep.
And just period.
Even if you had a conflict at one time or another with Jason.
Dennis was always, everybody had a conflict with Jason at one time.
I don't want to say, what I'm saying is, even if you did have a conflict with Jason, Dennis was always on the neutral side of it every time. You know, he'd always come to you and he would always say something. And you know, I mean, this is a bad time for the Boyd family. And I think
Dennis had the ability to separate racing from life, right. And you know, and for Dennis, racing was a way of life,
yeah.
But it wasn't life.
He's one of just a few guys I was able to just jam a microphone right into his face, and no matter what happened, Jason's sitting there with a used-up car, Dennis thrashing, trying to get it fixed, and I want an interview from anybody. The man would always stop what he's doing and talk to me.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, it's a sad time, and even though, lots of people have had a conflict at time or another with Jason, this is certainly not the time for conflict. This is the time to embrace him and pray for their family and remember them with all good thoughts and anything else that you can do for them. So,
no
Billy,
doubt.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Sure. Randy, when are you starting racing? You going to open up the season?
New Smyrna starts on the 15th of March, and I really don't think we'll probably be ready for that race yet. Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say no. We're not going to take it off our schedule yet, but I'd say it's less likely that we'll be ready to go. You know, it's been it's been 3.5 years now for me, and you know, the one thing we don't want to do is go out there before we're ready, and we don't want to get in somebody else's way who is ready, and I think we'll be ready. But we won't do it until we are.
Are you seeing, just in your dealings now with New Smyrna Speedway and some other competition you'll be racing with, more people or less drivers re-upping for the 2008 season due to the economy?
Well, you know, what I've seen is that there's a pretty healthy group of race car drivers out there in terms of the number. I think it's hard. You know, I try to be sensitive to the whole issue. I mean, everybody, you know, I feel like I'm one of those blessed people on this earth, and I know that not everybody is as fortunate financially. So, I try to see everybody's perspective. But if you look at our community over the last couple of weeks. And all the people who visited it and the money that they spent and the race cars that were at your racetrack at Volusia Speedway Park and the race cars that were at the New Smyrna Speedway and the number of people who paid a ticket price to get in and the ticket price that they paid, you know, it's you kind of scratch your head.
Yeah, it was healthy.
Like, yeah, I mean, it really was.
It was healthy for us. Billy will attest to that. The only thing, I mean, maybe – they didn't get their butts out of the grandstands much and go buy more T-shirts.
Because they're afraid they're going to lose their seat.
That's exactly right. And afraid they're going to miss some action on the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know,
it was healthy.
The thing about it is falling back on the economy. I seen a lady on the news last night says she paid $1,000 for three tickets yesterday to go to the Daytona 500 for her and her two kids. I mean, so.
Place was full.
The place was full. It was definitely sold out, and it was, now on the other hand, it is the 50th anniversary of the Daytona 500. If you couldn't sell that one out, that would have been pretty ugly.
Dismal.
But nonetheless, it wasn't just that everybody bought a ticket, but they bought a ticket and they bought stuff and they bought food and they, you know, I mean, they, the
parking,
the parking, oh, yeah, I mean, everything, the whole thing. It was a very healthy economic event if you look at it purely based on dollars and cents. And so I'm not saying that the economy couldn't be better. I think that it certainly could, and I hope that that it will get better. And and you know, the things that really hit people in the pocket, you know, the gas prices and the
went up 10 cents the other night.
The pot. Well, that's you know, let's, we don't want to talk about that. That's a Mark Bernier issue.
That's right.
You know,
But let me just real quick. You know, you talk about, you know, fuel prices for one thing. Our modifieds, each one of these guys, the big blocks are from
right,
the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. We had 40 of them.
Well, you know,
we
I watched
the wall now.
Yeah,
I watched the Northern modifieds out at New Smyrna.
Right, right.
And
they're all from up there.
In years gone by, Billy, you'll attest this, they used to run the SK modifieds and the tour types together, right?
Not anymore, right?
No, because they got too many of them.
Right, yeah, it's amazing.
They had to split them.
Sure.
And run separate, you know, separate
and
races.
And we're blessed in that aspect to be able to pull these kind of race cars.
Yeah, no question. So I, you know, yeah, I believe that things could be better from a from an economy standpoint. But as far as Volusia County goes, over these last couple of weeks, it was pretty good.
No, you know?
Very, very good. Well, guys, we've spent most of the night talking about everything but the Cup stuff over the weekend and our NASCAR. First off, congratulations to the Daytona International Speedway, International Speedway Corporation, on the 50th anniversary of the Daytona 500. And I want to say, I mean, we can disagree on the level of talent.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's more of a personal preference.
That's all it is.
In
that's exactly
opinion.
Right, of course.
But nonetheless, the program, I mean, the way they thought it out,
yeah,
all that they did,
oh,
everything
yeah
that they brought to the table,
yep,
you know, the vintage race cars.
The vintage way drivers.
The
vintage. Come on, man. That was wonderful. Kelly Yarborough was there.
Yeah. I was going to say, even if you didn't enjoy the music, just to see the cars go around
that's
the
right
track.
That was awesome.
Yes, it was.
It was a standing
ovation. That's Randy Dodge. That's Randy Dodge. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I said, babe, that's Randy's. That's Randy.
They had a Superbird. Was that yours?
That wasn't mine, but I had one like that. But,
right.
The cars got a standing ovation.
We need to get
the way they honored all the
yeah,
champions.
Definitely.
All that pomp and circumstance was just phenomenal.
Yep, and the retrospective aspect of it.
The
was
one awesome thing, and I'm probably the, you know, maybe you guys won't identify with this, but the one thing that really, nothing you can do about it, and business dictates that they did what they did, but the one thing that I sat in the stands and felt like was just a little out of place was Pepsi wasn't there. And Coke was,
yep.
And if you believe the urban legend, okay, which was that Bill France Sr. said that, you know, Coca-Cola would never be at the Daytona International Speedway so long as he was alive, and then that same promise was kept by Bill France Jr.
Yep.
And it goes back to looking for funding to be able to build the Daytona International
yep
Speedway, and that Pepsi was there to help make it happen.
Yep.
It was a little, for me,
unsettling.
Well, I mean, I'm an old time fan, so a lot of people wouldn't have.
Did you feel that way when they dropped Unical for Sunoco?
Yeah, but not
okay,
quite.
Did you feel that way when they dropped CBS for Fox? Because this is what I've been saying for 10 years.
Well, I felt that way more when ESPN went away.
Yeah,
A harder. But and so you know what the truth is, that's all sentiment, and it really doesn't
that's
have any value.
That's right, man.
To that whole thing.
But July is the Coke Zero 400,
now
not the
is
Pepsi.
Okay, well, you know, things change.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you're right, and we accept that.
I didn't like front-wheel drive cars.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
now they're everywhere. And
right.
Of course, now we're switching back to rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as how your feelings are hurt,
Right.
I just want to say, because I know that nobody from the Sprint Cup's probably listening, but Do I got to win the Daytona 500 seven times to throw the green flag one time on the race?
Oh,
that's all you want.
Hey, I'm the fan favorite flagman of the year.
Can I say
Florida State?
Let Billy the Kid throw the green down on – let him throw the ghost stick down on him one time. One time.
Richard Petty is – I love him to death, and you guys know
that. That was terrible. Did you see that?
He did a horrible job. I mean, he showed him the flag.
Tape that, Mark.
They're coming out of turn four, sad. And he showed the flag, and yeah, I'm going, "Oh my sad. God, what's going to happen here?"
It was
here?
Terrible.
You know, but
that's the second time I've ever seen him without a hat.
But here's the man that has seen more green flags than anybody combined on the property. You think he'd know how to wind it up, twist it up a little?
Well,
bit.
Well, no, I think he waved
he was
it. Okay,
it.
Okay,
but he just was just.
But he showed it a little early. Yeah, I'm thinking, uh-oh, we're going to get a start. You know,
that's like turning over your pocket aces before they throw the flop.
I'm telling you, man.
But you know what? I guess you know the guy. You're right. He won the Daytona 500 seven times, a seven-time NASCAR champion. If he showed the flag a little early, whatever, you know?
And Billy, going along the lines of what you'd like to do, it's every announcer's dream to stand on that scaffolding, you know, next to Mike Bagley or somebody, or even Barney, you know, up in the tower, just to call a lap one day.
All those guys, you know, that's I don't think there was a part about the way that the deal was done that I mean, ultimately, aside from my own little you know, with the Pepsi thing, I think it was a wonderful event.
Definitely.
I mean, they did you know, you sit at a race a long time before, particularly Daytona, just because you try to get parked. I wasn't bored. They did a great job.
Keep you going.
You know, the flyover was absolutely off the chart. Trisha Yearwood sang the national anthem as well as it could be done.
You're right.
You know, I mean, it was it really. They paid a great deal of attention and a great deal of homage to every element of it, and I think it was well done. They deserve a lot of credit.
That's probably why the ratings are way up.
And from the competitive standpoint, what I take from this weekend, although I'm loyal to Dodge, is Toyota's here.
Hey, you know what? I'm celebrating, but you know what? This is a new week coming up, and make no mistake about it, Toyota's here.
Hey, we had a different winner.
Yep.
It was a good race. Dodges pushed. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. Yep. Kurt Busch started shotgun on the field.
Yep.
I mean,
Saturday and Sunday, Volusia Speedway Park. It is our winter warm up. It's a makeup race on Saturday. Grandstands open at 5, racing at 7:30 on Sunday. We're going to open the gates at noon and race at 1 or 2 o'clock. So come on out Saturday and Sunday. Street stocks, pro stocks, and modifieds.
$2,500 to win on Sunday for the street stocks and the old hobby stock class, or the now what they call the sportsman and the old hobby stock class. $2,500 to win on Sunday. Be nice. Twin 40 lappers.
Yep, going to be a good one. Weather's supposed to be nice.
Of course, we'll be able to report to you all that happened over the weekend here on Trackside tonight, and we look forward to being able to take your phone calls and also to be able to just share our thoughts and listen to your thoughts, and we'll be back here next Monday night on Trackside tonight.
Chubby
night,
Checker everybody. Was lip-syncing.
Good night.